from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guess who's back? Well, if you don't know, now you know, playa. Banners unfurled, trumpets sounding triumphantly across the nation as the great one Lonzo has returned to us like the prodigal son that he is. Welcome. Good enough for me. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Thursday edition of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome in. How you doing? How's everybody? Good week? I hope so. Good. It is a great day for me because I get to go back to working with Lonzo, which is, you know, it's all I ever wanted. It's all I ever needed. Yeah. And on top of that, I don't have to push all the buttons by myself.
Yeah, you don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
That's really the major thing.
No, that's not true. The major thing is, I'm glad to see you. I'm glad you had a vacation. We talked a little bit about Lonzo's vacation activities. A lot of reading, a lot of enjoying time by the sea.
I fell.
Wait, what now?
I fell. It was into the ocean. So, I mean, you know, it's...
So you dove.
No. I fell. I went to pivot. And the leg gave out. So as I'm flying backwards and resign myself that I can't catch myself,
yep.
I am looking into my son's eyes and the disappointment that I saw in his eyes. Like, and to me, as I'm falling in slow motion, thinking, okay, now I've reached old in his eyes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
He said that's not what he thought. He thought I was just being goofy because when I fell, I just, you know, you might as well sell it.
And you didn't roll with that? You weren't like, that's exactly what I was doing,
no,
Pappy?
No.
Exactly what I was doing.
It's not.
I was just having some fun.
No, other than that, things were good. I mean, you know, and some of my favorite shops no longer... Heroes and Villains, I'm going to point this out just because I don't care if I slam Heroes and Villains because they don't exist in this area anymore. They've decided to go completely anime, and they took out all the t-shirts, and they went with book bags. Okay, I get book bags are big for a certain audience, like teenage girls, but everything else was pretty much gone. And it's like, okay, your sign's a lie, okay? This should just be the book bag store.
The book bag store.
But... at least the 80s store still exists, so I'm able to rock this Back to the Future shirt.
It's a good shirt.
Yeah. So,
good shirt.
I mean, so at least there's that.
Good shirt. I don't hate it at all.
It was a good trip. I noticed I have like 400 emails that I haven't went through yet, and I just don't have time for that. I will eventually to find out how things went, including I apologize for yesterday. Not my fault, but
no, it's not.
It was on my way back, and Cameron says, Rob's by himself. I'm like, oh. I'll have to find out about that tomorrow.
The good news, so for the good news for you, the good news for me, the good news for the boss man down the hall is that I'm very good at this job.
You are.
That's the good news.
I mean, you know, not as good as me over here, but that's fine, you know. Ooh, that sounds like a challenge.
It does. It does.
Because you didn't immediately give me my bona fides.
I mean, I did, you were out, what, 5 days?
Yeah.
And I did 3.5 of them by myself. So, you know, I'm just saying, what? You are very good at your job. But right. Here's what I'm going to say.
I'm not good at scheduling, I suppose.
I am very good at my job and pretty good at yours.
Okay, fine.
All right?
Whatever.
So that's what I'm going to give myself credit for. I think I've earned it. I've earned it.
You know what? I can just go finish out the week.
No, listen, I've already been walked off on once this week. I don't want it to happen again, all right?
Okay, all right.
All right. What a show we got lined up for you today, ladies and gentlemen. A lot we need to get into, a lot we need to talk about. Yesterday we talked a little bit about some of the discussions that were had by one Dabo Sweeney a few days ago, 2 whole days ago, at Clemson Open House Media Day.
Wow, and I heard something that you played earlier, and I wanted to comment so bad, but I'll just wait till you play it on the air.
Well, good news for you. You'll have your chance, because while I did not have time before yesterday morning's show to go down and pull some of that sound so you could hear the answers from him, I did do it yesterday. And by yesterday, I mean this morning. And I've got time to play them for you this morning. So we will listen to some of the things that Dabo Sweeney had to say at Clemson Open House. I do have some audio from Shane Beamer from SEC Media Days a couple of days ago as well. We've really played most of the Beamer stuff. I got a couple of little one-off things, but we did a lot of Shane Beamer earlier in the week. We're doing a lot of Dabo Sweeney towards the end of the week. And of course, next week on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, Rob Brown will be up in Charlotte, North Carolina for ACC Media Days. Now, there is a bit of an update for those of you that have not tuned in this week. Clemson Day.
I said that would be me.
Yes, it is. Clemson Day is on Thursday. And I do have confirmed so far interviews with Cade Klubnik and Dabo Sweeney. However, those interviews are after the show, after this show is off the air, okay? Those interviews are after this show goes off the air, and then I am off next Friday as the fiancé and I will be headed down to the wedding destination to do our last little wedding prep activities. Got to go meet the caterer and the photographer and yada, yada, yada. So, with all of that being said, you will get Clemson Day next Thursday. And what I am going to do is, aside from giving my interviews with Cade Klubnik and Dabo Sweeney to Diesel and Cole to run them wire to wire.
Come on. Don't do the teammate thing. Accidentally misplace the interview so it can be played on Monday.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
It's like, oops. You know, I was in a hurry to get out of here, and I forgot. Which is very believable. I don't know if you... I know.
I strive for believable. So we will have those interviews. They will go Thursday evening with Cole and Diesel. I am off on Friday. So what I will do is I will post those interviews to our website Thursday after they are concluded. Those two interviews, Cade and Dabo, we do have a bunch of other interviews pretty much all week long. We have interviews throughout the day, as well as obviously we'll be gathering sound from press conferences and media open conferences, etc. We will grab sound throughout the week, and that will all be posted to the website as in real time as I can pull it off throughout the course of the week. And then off on Friday, when I return on Monday, if you have not heard it yet, you will get full exposure to everything that we put in the can next Friday at ACC Media Days. SEC Media Days wrapping up today down in Dallas, Texas. And, you know, I need more than anything else. I do need one thought from Lonzo on a story that he missed. This is John McDade.
John McDade is the coordinator of officiating for the Southeastern Conference. I'm not going to set up the clip outside of telling you it's John McDade, the SEC's coordinator of officials. I'm just going to play the clip and then get Lonzo's gut reaction from it. He said, and then his little machine here screwed up because I've had to change it back and forth between computers about 11 times this week. John McDade, this is me stalling for time while that application reboots. John McDade was down at SEC Media Days. He is the one that does all the training and updating season to season on rules from the SEC to the officials. And he said this, yay. What's he talking about, Lonzo?
Okay, at first I thought there were birds flying, and then I finally got it. So we're talking about horns down.
There it is.
We're talking about this.
We're talking about
horns down. Really, really. That has become a thing. The only school that has to get special rules for them.
Well, they had special rules. They don't anymore because the Southeastern Conference looked Texas in the face and said, boys, if this hurts your fifis, you're going to get your ass kicked in this conference, dudes.
Yeah,
you're going to get smoked.
There is that. And the fact that it's being brought up and pointed out only means it's going to happen at every single SEC stadium they go to.
It's going to happen at every stadium they go to, period. Right? Out of conference games, in conference games, basketball arenas. It doesn't matter what Texas does.
They may look over. Lane Kiffin might be doing it. I mean, you know, it's possible.
Out
of all the coaches, he would be the one that would do it.
Knowing Lane, and I don't know Lane, but knowing Lane, I got to tell you, I suspect, like, whatever pass call is, you know, every team's got their, like, this is our go-to play. When in doubt, if it's, you know, if the play clock's winding down and we just got to get up there and run something, this is the play we're going to run. We know we're comfortable. We know we got this, right? Everybody's got this down to a science. We drilled it to perfection during the offseason. It would not shock me from Leno if the hand sign to indicate to Jackson Dart, that's the play I want, isn't just Lane hitting, like, the repeated vicious horns down.
Oh,
as that
I hope
sign.
So. I hope so. That would be excellent. That really would be good.
You know those. You know how a lot of the teams now, they go to those big like project boards that they put like four pictures on them.
Yes.
Right, and they're random pictures, and then the coaches give a signal, and then that signal translates to the board, and then the picture on the board represents a play for it. I bet Lane's got a horns down on, like, it's the top right corner of all of those signboards that he puts up. It's like it'll be like smiley face emoji. It'll be Michigan M, it'll be a hot dog, and then the horns down emoji. And then the next board will be like Bulbasaur, and then the Batman sign, and then, like a head of lettuce, and then the horns down sign. It's just going to be on every one when Texas comes to town for the first time.
That sounds like an all-out pass to me, but, you know, I hope so. Man, now I may have to watch Texas football just to see that stuff.
Are you high on Texas football this year?
No, that's why I said. I think
no.
I think we're really going to see a welcome to the SEC to them. I think we are.
Yeah, I
because they're going to come in with a certain kind of cockiness, which is accepted in the SEC, but
sure,
you have to earn it. And they're going to come in thinking everything they did before matters, and it doesn't. You got to do it there.
Yeah, I.
You know why, Rob? Because it just means more there.
It does just mean more. That's what I've been told. I've seen the commercials, actually.
Ashley Judd, I believe.
That was not Ashley Judd. That was just some random brunette lady on a beach.
No.
No, she is. She's Kentucky, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's the one who says the phrase.
No, so I'm sure she has said it. The commercial that we all made fun of when it first dropped, I don't think it was Ashley. Let's see if we can look it up. See if you can find it. If not, I'll find it during the break. But I don't think it was Ashley Judd. It was like some random brunette lady on the beach. And they were on the beach in Destin, which is where the SEC spring meetings happen. And she's just like, in the SEC, it just means more. And you're like, dude, are you about to boink the SEC tonight, lady? You sound really turned on by that. It was almost creepy.
the way she said it, right?
Well, there's a bunch of other stuff that's coming up.
That for sure.
I don't want to. Yeah,
but
it's very political, so I don't want to delve any further.
The commercial that got that whole campaign started was so weird, and I don't think it was weird. I don't think it was weird because of the tag. It just means more. It's like, all right, everybody, Big Ten calls themselves the Conference of Champions. Like, all right, you've got the same number of championships as the Big 12 since the turn of the century. You're not really the Conference of Champions, but we don't get on it. It wasn't that they went with the tagline, it just means more to me. It was that lady in the commercial that damn near felt like she was trying to talk the SEC into a one-night stand. It just means more. Calm down, Linda.
Well,
relax.
I've been told by marketing reps that sex sells, Rob. So I don't know if you knew that or not.
Oh, as a former PR agent, I know that. Really hard to translate that into local politics, but you know.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you right now, I won't give an exact position because I'm sure there's people down in Florida listening who will know exactly what I'm talking about. But there was a gentleman, and I use that term very loosely, who was a mid-ranking county official when I worked there. And there was a point in time, Zoe, where we were going to put down a new water main down Main Street, down the middle of one of two primary streets in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, where I grew up, right? There's Racetrack Road, and then there's Eglin Parkway. And the city's a big square. So you got Racetrack and Eglin that go down the side, and then you got Highway 98 and Mary Esther Cutoff that go down to form the square, and then the whole city's basically inside of that big square. And if any one of those four roads go down, the whole city is bleeped at that point, right? So we had to put down a new water main, down Racetrack Road, which was going to require about a mile of Racetrack Road, the main thoroughfare in the town, to be shut down for like 3 months while they did this project. And I was talking to the boss, and I'm like, the county manager, I was like, I want you to know, dude, I'm about to quit this job. He goes, why? And I'm like, because you were about to shut down the most important road in the city for 3 months. And I know every day I'm going to get on the Facebook 1,000 times about why is this not being worked on around the clock until it's done. And at that moment, a county commissioner who, great one, I say this lovingly, was Boss Hogg. And not only was Boss Hogg.
I was already picturing the other guy as Boss Hogg here, but okay.
Nope, my county commissioner, cool guy, man. Younger guy, early 40s, just like suit, like in shape, super swag, cool guy. This guy was Boss Hogg. And Zoe, he made you look skinny. He made me look skinny. All right? This dude was going about 450, 460 when he walked in the room, right? And he walks in the room and he hears me say, I'm going to be miserable for 3 months because for 3 months, the people are going to come after me for y'all banging up this road. And he looks at me and he goes, well, why don't you make it sexy? Sex sells. And I was like, why don't you get out of this room, Boss Hogg? You can't. Number one, you can't make, hey, town, we're shutting your primary road down for 3 months for a water main. You can't make that sexy. And then what I don't need is a 450-pound dude from Crestview, Florida. I don't need you coming here trying to tell me. And it's not like he said it as a joke, Lonzo. Like, he looks me in the face and he goes, make it sexy. Sex sells. How am I making a highway closing sexy, boss? Anyway, sex sells, but not from that guy. It does sell from Lady on the Beach panting over the SEC. It just means more. All right, we got a lot to get to. Comments from Dabo Swinney. Dan Orlovsky talks about Josh Allen, and uses the phrase. And we'll see what he was talking about when he said that, because I think Lonzo might take some offense to it. We'll see.
That's the one thing I have seen this week.
Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Okay, we're gonna get some football talk in here, but I have to drag you down because I just thought of this thing that happened to me yesterday, Zo.
You gotta drag me down?
Who? So, yesterday I was flipping channels in the afternoon, all right, doing a little work around the house, getting ready for the BetQL hit last night, and getting the show ready for today. And I'm flipping channels because last night there was WNBA and nothing else on, right? No NBA, no WNBA.
There was a AEW Dynamite, but you know.
There was, but you know, I catch up the next day. I don't know why. I've trained myself to the point that I can't do wrestling with commercials in it anymore.
Be here in town next week.
Not only are they, but interview set up. So.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. All right. You're not going to like it. We're getting the bald guy. We're getting Dax.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah.
Now, he might not be the only one. There is also a chance that we may get Stat, friend of the show, back in studio.
Ooh. Okay.
Dax may be in studio, too, just for the record.
That's fine. Whatever. I mean, you know.
But I've also reached out to...
You think I'm not going to ask him the question?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
No, I don't want to hurt relations, so...
I also don't want you to do that.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, when you say, you know, just fists... And that you don't climb up on that, and I see you up on the top rope all the time. I got a problem with that.
It's almost like it's a character gimmick.
Yes. So okay.
So I have that. Those were the two that were offered to the building, but also, you know, we got friends in low places, and so I've reached out directly. And wow, that's all right. You came back from vacation. All right,
I did, but you know, it still counts.
I've reached out to our friends in, I guess I should call them friends in high places.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. Is there anybody else? And she wrote me back last night and said, good chance. Let me get back to you. So fingers crossed. I'll let you know. But we do have AEW coming up. And we also got some tickets. So me and you, we're not giving any away. Me and you got tickets. That was really mean of me to do. And I realized
that was.
I didn't mean for it to go that way. Okay. I was really more just excited to tell Lonzo, hey, we got hooked up with some tickets to the show.
I've been gone for a week. So, yeah. And when I go, I don't really have too much interaction with anybody. I turn the radio off and I'm silent.
So we will have some stuff for you coming up. All right, quick story. Yesterday, flipping channels, getting ready for the BetQL hit, and I come across, you a Wheel of Fortune guy at all?
Back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, I was around when it first started.
Wheel of Fortune, when Wheel of Fortune comes on, the lady friend and I, any game show, we compete against each other. That's like our favorite thing, right? Name That Tune, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, whatever. We compete against each other. Was flipping channels yesterday. She was in the Bro Cave. Wheel of Fortune came on, and there, there was a gentleman with a an eye patch on, Lonzo, and he spins the wheel, and he asks for a tea or whatever, and they give him two, and he goes, I'd like to buy a vowel, and out loud, without thinking about it, I just went, please ask for an eye. And she gets up and just walks out of the room.
See, I thought he was going to ask for an R.
All right, that's all. That's the whole story. That's the whole story. But I had to share it with you.
Hey, listen, you know, she should be used to that by now.
Yeah, I asked her. I'm like, what is that the line? Like that, of all the things I've said to you, that's where you leave the room. And she also didn't answer that. She just was. She just left. She just went into the bedroom and turned on Law and Order or whatever. In fairness, I get it. It was pretty jacked up, but it made me laugh. All right, we were talking Texas Longhorns. I'm not a believer in Quinn Ewers. And I got to tell you, like, and maybe this may come back to haunt me.
How much better is he than that Manning boy?
Here's the thing. I got no reason to believe in Arch Manning either, right? Like, if Arch Manning was the second coming of Pepe, if he was the next Peyton Manning, then wouldn't he be the starting quarterback, right? Like, I'm not...
Yeah, he should be, exactly.
Not just be the starting quarterback, but somebody would have made him an offer you can't refuse to leave Texas and transfer somewhere, right? Like, somebody would have put it out there that he can go to another team and make $1 billion and start. He would have been one of those two things, but he's neither. So I don't really have a reason to believe in Arch Manning as a savior either. Steve Sarkisian said at SEC Media Days that you will see both of those guys this year. Both of those guys will get some PT this year. And I'm like, all right. Like, if you got two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And also, if Arch was the savior, wouldn't he already be the guy? And the answer to me is like, yeah, I'd think so, but he's not. So I'm trying to figure out how it is that Quinn Ewers is the most important quarterback in the Southeastern Conference, right? Like, every time I turn on SEC Net live from SEC Media Days or whatever it's been for this past week, it's like every time I flip on, they're like, Texas. It's Texas. Texas is in. Texas is going to beat Georgia. Texas is coming. Quinn Ewers is him. And I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying, have you seen enough to say he is? Have you seen enough to say he's the guy? Because I will make one opinion known. If Quinn Ewers ain't him, Texas is in trouble this year. All right? That's a tough schedule they got ahead of them. It's not going to be an easy year for Texas. They open with a win in Colorado State. Guess where they go in week two, Lonzo? They're at Michigan in week two. At Michigan in week two, when Michigan's still excited. They won't have lost a game at that point. Michigan's going to be up. Texas should theoretically be better than Michigan. It's a step back year, but that's a tough place to play.
We need a man on the street for that. We should put a contact to our guy in Michigan. Reach out to our guy in Michigan.
Yeah, I think I got a guy in Detroit.
To see if he's willing to come on the show and preview that.
I think he would be. So we'll get a.
I think he's busy in the morning.
No one's busy this morning, this early. UTSA ULM to open. Then here's their run through the rest of the schedule. Great one. They got three easy ones, and then a trip to Michigan to open. Then they've got Mississippi State at the house, at Oklahoma, Red River Shootout. That's a neutral site game. Back home for Georgia. Back to back to back. Then they're at Vandy. Then they come back home for Florida. Then Arkansas, Kentucky, Texas A&M to wrap it up. That's a, you know, I said it's a tough schedule. That's a middle of the pack schedule. That's not the most impressive schedule of anybody in the conference. but it ain't an easy one either. And everybody right now is saying it's all on Quinn Ewers. And if that is the case, like, unless my man learned how to throw a more accurate deep ball down the stretch, which I think you're going to have in the Southeastern Conference this year if you're Texas. If you can't throw the deep ball, if you can't take the lid off a defense and force SEC defenses to not throw extra defenders at you.
I was going to say, how's his legs? Because he might be needing them when he goes up against SEC defense.
Might. Bro, I'm going to tell you right now, the two guys I am worried about early out of the gate are Cade Klubnik and Quinn Ewers, right? Because those two guys are in similar situations, both teams expecting to have a better, well, Texas can't really have a better year. They went to the playoffs last year, but both teams expected to have good years. Both teams expected to be playoff teams. Both teams needing growth from their quarterback to get there. And both teams have Georgia on the schedule relatively early for, well, I guess not early, middle of the season for Texas, but week one for Cade Klubnik. If you can't take the top off the Georgia defense, if you allow the Georgia defense space to get extra pressure against you early, your quarterback's going to die. They're just going to get ransacked. So I'm interested. Now, I will point out, and I'll give him credit for it, this offense averaged 36 points per game last year under Quinn Ewers. But it was also a schedule last year that included Rice, Wyoming, Baylor, Houston, BYU, Kansas State, TCU, Iowa State, and Texas Tech. Like, it's not, oh, by the way, 36, they put up 57 against Texas Tech. They put up 35 against BYU. They put up 40 against Kansas. Kansas is going to be better this year. They weren't great last year. They put up 37 against Rice. So a lot of those 36 per game did indeed come against their FCS opponents and their lower level FBS opponents. It was a fine offense. It was good enough to make a playoff. It's a weird spot, and I acknowledge, Lonzo, it's a weird spot for me to sit here and say I have questions about a quarterback who last year not just went to the playoff, but went to the playoff without his best weapon, John Brooks, in the offense. Because remember, he popped his ACL. You got five skill position starters that have to be replaced this year, including John Brooks, including Jatavion Sanders, all three starting wide receivers. You did bring in some guys, right? You brought in Isaiah Bond from Alabama, Matt Golden from Houston, Silas Bolden from Oregon State. Like, you brought in some guys, but you think them and Quinn Ewers are just going to get a deep ball chemistry right out of the gate? I don't. I don't get the Texas love. I think they're going to be good. I think they absolutely could be a playoff team. But this whole they're going to win the conference out of the gate thing got real old to me real quick. All right, when we come back here in a minute, got the opportunity to go down to Clemson on Tuesday and hear what Dabo Swinney had to say in an open press conference with the media. Pulled some of the highlights of that. And I'll play those for you when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Good morning indeed, my dear friends. Welcome in. Real good. Corey LaJoie, real good. Corey LaJoie not getting fined by NASCAR, by the way, for his incident with Kyle Busch at Pocono, which is the right call. You know, it's kind of like when two of your favorite wrestlers end up in a feud together, though. You know how sticky of a situation that gets to be as a fan? Like, for instance, when friend of the show Gunther takes on friend of the show Damian Priest.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I was thinking that the other night while I was watching the matchups. Like,
okay, I've got my favorite, by the way.
Okay, I don't,
I've got my favorite.
I know who I think's going to win, but you guys will just have to wait on that.
Till 9:20 this morning when Fight Club kicks in.
Well, that ain't happening for two more weeks, so...
Oh, I was like, Fight Club's not happening for two more?
No,
I got you.
No, I'm not going to give you my prognostication
then. That's fair. We got a lot between here and there. But any hoodles. That's kind of the spot that I find myself in right now in regards to the Kyle Busch, Corey LaJoie thing. We'll come back to that later in the show because I do think it's important to talk about. But earlier this week, got a chance to head down to the Clemson Media Open House. They do it every year. They are very kind. Phenomenal lunch provided for us. Little teriyaki chicken and a little lemon pepper salmon. Some mashed potatoes. Some fresh country veggies. All right. Some New York cheesecake.
Were the mashed potatoes red potatoes?
No, they were classic traditional Southern mashed potatoes with garlic and butter.
They weren't grown like out in the field outside the campus.
I don't know. I don't know if they grow potatoes at Clemson.
It's an ag school, so yeah, that's probably that's true. What they, you know.
I will tell you what it was, though. I'll tell you what it was. It was delicious. It was delightful. It was. Anyway.
Who sat at what table did you sit at?
I sat with friend of the show, Susan, our photographer friend, on Twitter. And I sat with Chapel Fowler from the state. He was phenomenal. First time I've gotten to meet him in person. He was great. And I sat, who else was at our table? There were a couple other big names at our table. It was very nice. Got to shake some hands and kiss some babies and whatnot.
Cool. Making connections.
Yeah, for sure.
Networking.
Yeah, and great guys, great gals. It was phenomenal. Anyway, got the chance to go listen to Dabo's Presser. A couple of things that stood out. These were some of the bigger moments from that press conference. I got a few. Here's Dabo Swinney first talking about Cade Klubnik last year and going into the spring and how Dabo views Cade Klubnik right now. Pretty coach speaky, right? That's pretty much what you're going to get.
So what he's saying is he's added to his repertoire. Now, not only can he hand off to the right, he can hand off to the left. Look at that. Yeah.
I mean, it's a natural
progression. I mean, when you're really good at doing things to one side and then you work on it really hard and then you can do the same thing to the other side.
I don't think that's what he was saying, but I get it. I don't think that was
Mafa's
the point.
In the backfield. I mean, you wouldn't want to hand the ball to that guy on the right side or the left side. So you got to get more comfortable handing to the left as well as the right.
Phil Mafa's going to be a beast, though. He's going to be a dude. He's going to have to be a dude. Because I think Phil Mafa being a dude is what unlocks Cade Klubnik developing into a better passer. Dabo did go on to say that he is very proud of what he has seen in Cade Klubnik so far this offseason. I mean, nobody more than Cade. I don't disagree with that at all. I think that when we look at what Cade Klubnik needs to be this year, one thing I found interesting in that answer was that Dabo laid. Does anybody think Clemson had a good offensive line last year? I don't think anybody does, right? But Dabo said, look, a lot of that was on him. A lot of that was on him. A lot of the TFLs were on him. A lot of the dumb plays were on him. And Garrett Riley, and unfortunately I do not have the sound from this, Garrett Riley said kind of the same thing in his media availability earlier in the day.
So what he's saying is that all the mistakes that Cade made, he made them.
No, I don't think so is that because he said not all of the.
All the mistakes he talked about were things that you could do better as, with your eyes down the field or whatever.
Listen,
holding on to the ball too long, you know, things like that. That's on him.
That is also correct. But also, as is the case with other quarterbacks in the Carolinas, if your offensive line is five turnstiles, you're going to take sacks no matter how damn good you are. Drew Brees got sacked a lot.
I'm also confused. He said as a first-year starter, didn't he start the year before?
As a first-year full-time starter.
Okay, because that's not what he said. He said as a first-time starter.
I'm going to say.
I could have swore like half the season at least the season before.
I'm going to say if you. No, it was not half. It was like three games before that. But I am going to say,
are you sure?
Yes. I am going to say that last year was his, I accept last year was his first time as a full-time starter.
Wow, that means a lot.
It does, for me, because I know ball.
Mr. Bryce Young is a rookie. Okay.
Yeah, Bryce Young is a rookie this year. Uh-huh. The garbage he went through last year. We'll fight about that later. I want to keep going with this. Our own Cole Bryson, C-Money, as everyone around here calls him, asked Dabo, how do you, especially with all the criticism, all the heat that you have been taking because of the fact that you're the only school that did not get a transfer in, how do you prevent that, all of that talk, from becoming a...
Is it integrated, though? I mean, because all the hype around is it not being integrated, right? That you know, transfer portal and all that stuff is not being used? I think something has to be used to be integrated. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big word for me. You know, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I think what he means is it's integrated into college football. Now, that's kind of been my argument about why this is a prove it year for Dabo Swinney, in my opinion, right? Because at this point, we're still learning, we're still figuring it out, we're still working out the mechanics and how they fit in our program. That's gone. You've had the portal for three seasons now. You've had NIL for three, or going in, what is it, going into three seasons, two full now? We're still learning the process is not an acceptable excuse anymore. It was a reason to me the first couple of years. Now it's an unacceptable excuse. So I don't have an issue with what he's saying and how he's saying it. Again, it is a little coach speaky. But he's saying, you know, the lawsuits between the conference and the school, not on us. The concept of the NIL and the portal and all the things you guys are saying about us, about that, we can't control any of that. All we can control is what we can control. And that's fair within the team, right? When the team gets out there on, what is it, August 31st to play Georgia, it's not like Dabo's going to be in the huddle going, all right, guys, nobody hears from the portal. Here's the gameplay. Like, that's not a part of football on Saturdays. But to say that it doesn't have an impact when it's a main priority of roster building, I don't necessarily think that's all that fair either. One more for you, Dabo Swinney. When asked about last year and what went right and what went wrong, there was one thing, one consistent theme that jumped out early. So he kind of leaned on that a lot, right? Kind of leaned on, hey, we got unlucky in some spots. He started off with, and I'm going to give him credit for this, he started off with, you know, we were 100-something in fumbles this year, and if we're 50th, if we're just in the middle of the pack, we're probably 11-1. I don't know that I'm really ready to go that far, all right? I think 10-2 was realistic. I think there were absolutely a couple of games last year. Clemson probably gets a different result if they don't turn the ball over. But
yeah, he just sounds like a lot of the Clemson fans. You know, we won that until we didn't. I mean, yep. You're right.
No, listen, and this is the difference between, I think, the way that I do this and the way a lot of people do this, former colleagues and whatnot. Yeah, I absolutely understand. This is why I have worked with people who have said you don't really need to watch every snap of every game to be able to talk about a team. And I disagree fundamentally. I absolutely do think you do. Because you might look at a quarterback like Cade Klubnik has taken four sacks in a game. Well, I can go look back. There's a reason he got sacked on every play, right? There's a reason for each one of those sacks. And if you go look and you find out that the left guard was just getting the crap kicked out of him for the entire game, and no changes got made to help eliminate that, then I'm not going to sit here and let people, and this is something that's already happened in this segment, I'm not going to sit here and let people drop bombs on Cade Klubnik or Bryce Young when it is very clearly not on them. And I'm not saying every sack isn't on them. Did Bryce have a couple of spots last year where he was too slow getting rid of the ball? Yes. Yes, of course he did. But it wasn't the majority of the time. It wasn't even close to the majority of the time. And I think you got to dive into that. You guys also know my thought on luck, right? You all send him out. He said, well, you know, he punches the ball out and it goes out in front of the pylon instead of behind the pylon. Well, if you're the guy that's carrying the ball, you know how you prevent that from happening? Understand you're getting chased down and don't let the ball get punched out. That's the difference between lucky and good, right? If you're the team doing the punching in that spot, you've got to understand where he is in relation to the field and try to get that a step earlier so you give yourself a chance, right? Like the luck thing, I'm not saying luck isn't involved in football. It's football. I'm saying the more I hear somebody rely on, we just got a little unlucky, the more I hear, we weren't fully prepared. That being said, I think Dabo was fine. I think he was a head coach at a press conference, pretty much that. You know who else is segue to a sports flash?
You know, Luck is no longer involved in football. He retired a couple years ago. Team USA basketball dominated Serbia yesterday, earning a 105-79 victory over Nikola Jokic, the most impressive performance of their Olympic warm-up so far. The U.S. ended the first half on a 19-5 run with their second team and opened the second half with an 11-0 run from the starters. Bam Adebayo had 17 points, Steph Curry had 24, and Anthony Edwards added 16. A good news, bad news situation for Major League Baseball. Paul Skenes, Shohei Ohtani, and Aaron Judge were able to help raise the ratings for the 2024 Midsummer Classic by a full 6%, but it remains the second lowest viewed all-star game ever. The Home Run Derby was down 11% viewership, though. Both events were opposite the Republican National Convention, which a lot of people watched, apparently. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports. All Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good morning indeed, my dear friends. Welcome in. Real good. Corey LaJoie, real good. Corey LaJoie not getting fined by NASCAR, by the way, for his incident with Kyle Busch at Pocono, which is the right call. You know, it's kind of like when two of your favorite wrestlers end up in a feud together, though. You know how sticky of a situation that gets to be as a fan? Like, for instance, when friend of the show Gunther takes on friend of the show Damian Priest.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. I was thinking that the other night while I was watching the matchups. Like, okay,
I've got my favorite, by the way.
Okay, I don't,
I've got my favorite.
I know who I think's going to win, but you guys will just have to wait on that.
Till 9:20 this morning when Fight Club kicks in.
Well, that ain't happening for two more weeks, so...
Oh, I was like, Fight Club's not happening for two more?
No,
I got
no,
you.
No, no. I'm not going to give you my prognostication
until then. That's fair. We got a lot between here and there. But, any hoodles, That's kind of the spot that I find myself in right now in regards to the Kyle Busch, Corey LaJoie thing. We'll come back to that later in the show because I do think it's important to talk about. But earlier this week, got a chance to head down to the Clemson Media Open House. They do it every year. They are very kind. Phenomenal lunch provided for us. Little teriyaki chicken and a little lemon pepper salmon. Some mashed potatoes. Some fresh country veggies. All right. Some New York cheesecake.
Were the mashed potatoes red potatoes?
No, they were classic traditional southern mashed potatoes with garlic and butter.
They weren't grown like out in the field outside the campus.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they grow potatoes at Clemson.
It's an ag school, so yeah, that's probably true. What they, you know.
I will tell you what it was, though. I'll tell you what it was. It was delicious. It was delightful. It was. Anyway.
Who sat at what table did you sit at?
I sat with friend of the show, Susan, our photographer friend, on Twitter. And I sat with Chapel Fowler from the state. He was phenomenal. First time I've gotten to meet him in person. He was great. And I sat, who else was at our table? There were a couple other big names at our table. It was very nice. Got to shake some hands and kiss some babies and whatnot.
Cool. Making connections. That's
yeah, for sure.
Networking.
For sure. Yeah, and great guys. Great guys, great gals. It was phenomenal. Anyway, got the chance to go listen to Dabo's presser. A couple of things that stood out. These were some of the bigger moments from that press conference. I got a few. Here's Dabo Swinney first talking about Cade Klubnik last year and going into the spring and how Dabo views Cade Klubnik right now. I mean, pretty coach speaky, right? That's pretty much what you're going to get.
So what he's saying is he's added to his repertoire. Now, not only can he hand off to the right, he can hand off to the left. Look at that. Yeah.
I mean, it's a natural progression.
I mean, when you're really good at doing things to one side and then you work on it really hard and then you can do the same thing to the other side.
I don't think that's what he was saying, but I get it. I don't think that was
Amafa's in the backfield. I mean, you're going to want to hand the ball to that guy on the right side or the left side. So you got to get more comfortable handing to the left as well as the right.
Phil Moffa's going to be a beast, though. He's going to be a dude. He's going to have to be a dude. Because I think Phil Moffa being a dude is what unlocks Cade Klubnik developing into a better passer. Dabo did go on to say that he is very proud of what he has seen in Cade Klubnik so far this offseason. I mean, nobody more than Cade. I don't disagree with that at all. I think that when we look at what Cade Klubnik needs to be this year, one thing I found interesting in that answer was that Dabo laid. Does anybody think Clemson had a good offensive line last year? I don't think anybody does, right? But Dabo said, look, a lot of that was on him. A lot of that was on him. A lot of the TFLs were on him. A lot of the dumb plays were on him. And Garrett Riley, and unfortunately I do not have the sound from this, Garrett Riley said kind of the same thing in his media availability earlier in the day.
So what he's saying is that all the mistakes that Cade made, he made them.
No, I don't think so. It's that because he said not all of the.
All the mistakes he talked about were things that you could do better as, I mean, with your eyes down the field or whatever.
Listen,
I mean,
holding on to
the ball too long, you know, things like that. That's on him.
That is also correct. But also, as is the case with other quarterbacks in the Carolinas, if your offensive line is five turnstiles, you're going to take sacks no matter how damn good you are. Drew Brees got sacked a lot.
I'm also confused. He said as a first-year starter, didn't he start the year before?
As a first-year full-time starter.
Okay, because that's not what he said. He said as a first-time starter.
I'm going to say.
I could have swore like half the season at least, the season before.
I'm going to say if you, no, it was not half. It was like three games before that. But I am going to say.
Are you sure?
Yes. I am going to say that last year was his, I accept last year was his first time as a full-time starter.
Wow, that means a lot.
It does, for me, because I know ball.
Mr. Bryce Young is a,
I know ball.
Is a rookie. Okay.
Yeah, Bryce Young is a rookie this year.
Uh-huh.
The garbage he went through last year. We'll fight about that later. I want to keep going with this. Our own Cole Bryson, C-Money, as everyone around here calls him, asked Dabo, how do you, especially with all the criticism, all the heat that you have been taking because of the fact that you're the only school that did not get a transfer in, how do you prevent that, all of that talk, from becoming a...
Is it integrated, though? I mean, because all the hype around is it not being integrated, right? That you know, transfer portal and all that stuff is not being used? I think something has to be used to be integrated. I mean, I could be wrong.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big word for me. You know, maybe I'm wrong.
I think what he means is it's integrated into college football. Now, that's kind of been my argument about why this is a prove-it year for Dabo Swinney, in my opinion, right? Because at this point, we're still learning, we're still figuring it out, we're still working out the mechanics and how they fit in our program. That's gone. You've had the portal for three seasons now. You've had NIL for three, or going into three seasons, two full now. We're still learning. The process is not an acceptable excuse anymore. It was a reason to me the first couple of years. Now it's an unacceptable excuse. So I don't have an issue with what he's saying and how he's saying it. Again, it is a little coach speaky. But he's saying, you know, the lawsuits between the conference and the school, not on us. The concept of the NIL and the portal and all the things you guys are saying about us, about that, we can't control any of that. All we can control is what we can control. And that's fair within the team, right? When the team gets out there on, what is it, August 31st to play Georgia, it's not like Dabo's going to be in the huddle going, all right, guys, nobody hears from the portal. Here's the gameplay. Like, that's not a part of football on Saturdays. But to say that it doesn't have an impact when it's a main priority of roster building, I don't necessarily think that that's all that fair either. One more for you, Dabo Swinney. When asked about last year and what went right and what went wrong, there was one thing, one consistent theme that jumped out early. So he kind of leaned on that a lot, right? Kind of leaned on, hey, we got unlucky in some spots. He started off with, and I'm going to give him credit for this, he started off with, you know, we were 100-something in fumbles this year, and if we're 50th, if we're just in the middle of the pack, we're probably 11-1. I don't know that I'm really ready to go that far, all right? I think 10-2 was realistic. I think there were absolutely a couple of games last year. Clemson probably gets a different result if they don't turn the ball over. But
yeah, he just sounds like a lot of the Clemson fans. You know, we won that until we didn't. I mean, yep, you're right.
No, and this is the difference between, I think, the way that I do this and the way a lot of people do this. Former colleagues and whatnot. Yeah, I absolutely understand. This is why I have worked with people who have said you don't really need to watch every snap of every game to be able to talk about a team. And I disagree fundamentally. I absolutely do think you do. Because you might look at a quarterback like Cade Klubnik has taken four sacks in a game. Well, I can go look back. There's a reason he got sacked on every play, right? There's a reason for each one of those sacks. And if you go look and you find out that the left guard was just getting the crap kicked out of him for the entire game, and no changes got made to help eliminate that, then I'm not going to sit here and let people, and this is something that's already happened in this segment, I'm not going to sit here and let people drop bombs on Cade Klubnik or Bryce Young when it is very clearly not on them. And I'm not saying every sack isn't on them. Did Bryce have a couple of spots last year where he was too slow getting rid of the ball? Yes. Yes, of course he did. But it wasn't the majority of the time. It wasn't even close to the majority of the time. And I think you got to dive into that. You guys also know my thought on luck, right? You also know he said, well, you know, he punches the ball out and it goes out in front of the pylon instead of behind the pylon. Well, if you're the guy that's carrying the ball, you know how you prevent that from happening? Understand you're getting chased down and don't let the ball get punched out. That's the difference between lucky and good, right? If you're the team doing the punching in that spot, you've got to understand where he is in relation to the field and try to get that a step earlier so you give yourself a chance, right? Like the luck thing, I'm not saying luck isn't involved in football. It's football. I'm saying the more I hear somebody rely on, we just got a little unlucky, the more I hear we weren't fully prepared. That being said, I think Dabo was fine. I think he was a head coach at a press conference, pretty much that. You know who else is segue to a sports flash?
You know, Luck is no longer involved in football. He retired a couple years ago. Team USA basketball dominated Serbia yesterday, earning a 105-79 victory over Nikola Jokic, the most impressive performance of their Olympic warm-up so far. The U.S. ended the first half on a 19-5 run with their second team and opened the second half with an 11-0 run from the starters. Bam Adebayo had 17 points, Steph Curry had 24, and Anthony Edwards added 16. A good news, bad news situation for Major League Baseball. Paul Skenes, Shohei Ohtani, and Aaron Judge were able to help raise the ratings for the 2024 Midsummer Classic by a full 6%, but it remains the second lowest viewed all-star game ever. The Home Run Derby was down 11% viewership, though. Both events were opposite the Republican National Convention, which a lot of people watched, apparently. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for our brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports, all Wire to Wire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.